Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films, 13 Lives, What Josiah Saw, and Resurrection. That's really like a Monday crossword puzzle in the New York Times.
It would be a little hard to make, or maybe a little easy to make a story out of those three titles. But they're three. Each one of these movies is pretty good. And actually, it's the last one, Resurrection, which I think is the best. But we'll get to that in a moment. I'll start with the movie that is getting by far and away the most publicity of all of these, the biggest ads and all of that, 13 Lives. This is the new movie by Ron Howard. And he is he's a talented filmmaker, but he really... He does good, solid, conventional, commercial fare. That's what he does. Over the years, he's made movies like A Beautiful Mind and Apollo 13 and The Da Vinci Code and, oh, lots of others. And again, he does good, solid, but generally, to my way of thinking, kind of unimaginative work. He's just a good craftsperson. He started, of course, as a child actor years ago on the old Andy Griffith Show on TV, and he was an excellent child actor. And when he became a movie director, I had high hopes for him. Some of his early movies showed real promise. And again, he does a nice job. I interviewed him once years ago. He's a very nice guy. But I always just find his movies a little too straightforward. They're a little bit too on the mark, a little too conventional for my taste. That said, 13 Lives has a terrific subject, which was covered actually just last year in a documentary called The Rescue. And here's what it's about. 13 Lives, like that documentary last year, is about something that really happened, a real world thing that happened in 2018. And that is that a soccer team of boys in Thailand went into a cave to just sort of have some fun, a cave where people go, It's a cave that's wide open. People are just free to wander in there if they want to. But it's a very, very long cave. It goes on and on and on. And what happened to this soccer team and their coach is that a monsoon rain came early and fell very, very heavily. And they were trapped in there. And the cave was flooded and flooded and flooded. And there they are waiting in the back of the cave, a very long way in, still alive, but virtually impossible to get to. So the community realizes that they're in there, and the community comes together and starts trying to work out ways to rescue these poor kids and their coach. Obviously, from the title of this new film, there's 13 of them. And I will tell how it all comes out, because this is very well known. Yeah, they're all rescued, but how they are rescued is as phenomenal as anything one can imagine. It involves calling in some divers, scuba divers from England. And these guys, they are not professional divers, really. One of them works in IT, and the other one was a firefighter. And they're just enthusiasts. And what they love is diving in caves. They love diving in dark places where you can't see anything. That's what they love to do. So they're perfect for this rescue operation. And then they, when they realize it's just going to be impossible to get these kids out, one of the things that happens is that they rescue somebody who was an adult who was not so far deeply into the cave, and they manage to get him out, but he totally panics and almost drowns. And that's a very short distance. These kids are way in the back of the cave. So they realize if they try to get these kids out, they're just going to panic and they're going to drown. So they bring in a friend of theirs, also from the West, a guy who is a physician and an anesthetist, and the plan is to anesthetize each one of the 13 kids, which they'll have to do repeatedly as they haul the kids out of the cave. Well, anyway, that's what happens. So all of this was told in this documentary, The Rescue. last year. And again, I prefer the documentary. It's better. And it has interviews with some of the real life people, including the real life divers. And it's just a marvelous movie, absolutely gripping, one of the very best movies of last year. 13 Lives tells the same story. And I don't think it improves in any way on the documentary, and I think in a way it is an unnecessary movie because we have that documentary. But that said, it's very well done. It stars Viggo Mortensen and Colin Farrell as the two main divers. It has a good cast. It's very snappily done. It moves along at a good pace, although it is much too long at 2.5 hours. And it's a good movie. So if you haven't seen the documentary, then sure, see 13 Lives. It's just a very well-told tale of something that really happened and which is almost unbelievable. It seems so improbable. But I actually would recommend you go back and find that rescue. It's streaming, that documentary. It's streaming all over the place, The Rescue. It's actually better, unless you really want to see Colin Farrell and Viggo Mortensen, in which case, then, yeah, you got to see 13 Lives. It's a good movie. Now, Jill, we move to the realm of horror. As I keep saying week after week, not every week, but very often, horror movies are one of the predominant genres of our time. And they just keep coming out, and some of them are pretty good. And today we have a pretty good one, What Josiah Saw, and what I think is a very good one called Resurrection. But let's talk first about What Josiah Saw. This is a movie directed by Vincent Grashaw, and it is a movie that's really basically in three parts, and for a long, long time, and this is another movie, by the way, which is too long, it's 2 hours, for a long, long, long time, it seems that these three stories, the first one, the second one, the third one, are really separate from each other, and you wonder how they're all going to come together, and they finally do in the latter part of the third episode. In any case, the first episode takes place on a farm, and we have what appears to be a very nasty, grumpy, and probably crazy old man who lives there with his stupid and perhaps mentally challenged son, and there's some sort of weird religious thing that's going on in the background of their lives, and we sort of get to know them a little bit, and there's conflict between them, and that first episode of the film ends in a real cliffhanger where you know something's going to happen, but you have no idea what it is. The second part of the story deals with another member of the same family, and he is very different. He is a bad guy. He's involved in crime and drugs and this and that, and he is being blackmailed by another very bad guy to whom he owes a lot of money. And this other bad guy forces him to get involved in this scheme to go to a Romani settlement, the Romani people, and get a hold of some gold that they have stashed away. And if he does that, if he helps these other bad guys get a hold of this gold, then all of what he owes will be obviated and wiped out. And so he agrees to do this. And so he goes off to this Romani encampment and gets involved with those people. And there's all kinds of skullduggery that's happening there. Then the third part of the story is yet again very different. We now deal with the young woman of the family and with her very troubled life. And again, finally, at the very end of the movie, all of these three stories do come together in ways that are reasonably convincing. So what we have here is a somewhat complicated horror movie with these three separate stories. It is very well acted. It's very well done. Again, it goes on too long, and it's really sort of stretched out. But each one of the stories is compelling in its own way. And again, you sit there and you wonder how this is all going to come together, and eventually it does. It's a movie which I found a bit scattered in certain respects, and some people have really questioned its tastefulness. It's always referring to the Romani people as gypsies. There are references to gold. The gold that the Romani people have was apparently stolen from the teeth of Jewish people during the Holocaust. And again, all this is kind of bad taste stuff. It's not very nice. But this is a horror movie, and it brings in some real-life horrors, such as, you know, bigotry and the Holocaust and so forth, in along with all of its fictional horrors. And it builds what is really the most important thing in my mind for any horror movie, maybe after a plausible plot, perhaps, which is atmosphere. It's a very atmospheric atmospheric movie. It has a very sort of leisurely pace, but it engrosses you, it brings you in, it holds you, sometimes almost transfixed as it develops its three separate stories. So if you're into horror movies, then I really do recommend What Josiah Saw. It's a very, very well done film. Some people find it a bit confusing. I think it's not so confusing as that it just demands patience as you wait to eventually see how its very separate yarns are going to finally be knit together. And our final movie for today, Jill, which in some ways is the best, Resurrection. This is another horror movie, and oh, it is a dark one. It was written and directed by Andrew Siemens, and its main asset is a terrific performance by Rebecca Hall, who is in almost every shot of the movie, and she's a really, really, really good actor, and she also really knows how to do horror. She was in a movie pretty recently called The Night House, where she gave a very memorable performance, and here she does that again. She is, I think, the movie's chief asset, but its other really, really big asset in the acting department is Tim Roth. He doesn't enter the story for a little while, but when he does, he is absolutely amazing. He is a phenomenal actor who rarely fails. Every once in a while he does, but this is a terrific performance for him, right up at the top of his game, and Rebecca Hall is phenomenal. So what is Resurrection about? Well, we have a woman here. It's a little bit murky as to exactly what her job is, but she's definitely a very high-powered professional woman. At the beginning of the story, we see her having a conversation with a young person, a young woman who is in some sort of psychological distress, and our main character, the Rebecca Hall character, is sort of counseling her. And so it appears that maybe she's a psychologist or a psychiatrist of some sort. It turns out she really isn't that, but she's something along those lines. She works for some sort of a high-tech company and is involved in, she's involved in technology and so forth. I haven't said her name yet. Her name is Margaret. Sometimes she's called Maggie. And again, she really works for this sort of apparently, maybe it's some sort of a pharmaceutical company, but in a very high-powered job, and she's very competent and capable. She has a young daughter who is just about to turn 18 and who is just to go off to college on her own, and that's a little bit of additional tension in the movie as we see the relationship between these two. They get along very well. They're a wonderful mother and a wonderful daughter. There's a little bit of tension in their relationship, but they get along very well. You do kind of wonder where the father is, and then you realize, well, this is one of those families where it's just a parent and a child, a single parent, the mother and the daughter. However, something mysterious happens very early in the movie. The daughter, Abby, finds in her wallet, in her purse, something very odd, a tooth. It's introduced in sort of a humorous way, but why is this tooth in there? Well, we never find out over the whole course of the movie exactly how it got there, but we certainly come to suspect that, because after a while, a third key character enters the story, and that is the character played by Tim Roth, and his name is David. And he is sitting in a park, although actually Margaret sees him a couple of times. She sees him at a conference, and the moment she spots him, sitting in another chair in the conference, tension kicks in. Ominous music comes on the soundtrack. She becomes so agitated that she has to run out of the conference and get outside and gasp for air. Then she sees him in a store, just at a distance from her, just sort of shopping for something. And again, panic overcomes her. Well, finally, she sees him in a park, a third chance encounter with this guy, this older guy. And she finally goes up to him and she confronts him. And it's the best scene in the movie. She confronts him and he says, "Oh, you're mistaking me for someone else." She says, "Get out of here. Leave me alone. Leave my daughter alone." He says, "Madam, you're mistaking me for somebody else." And then you realize that she's not mistaking him for somebody else, and that something really has transpired between these two, something evidently extremely sinister. And the rest of the movie pretty much is a duel between these two. This guy who has come back into her life for many, many, many years, and this young woman, well, she's not a young woman, just a middle-aged woman, who is lives with her daughter, and she is terrified of this guy, and she despises this guy, and gradually you find out why. You find out a great secret in her past, you find out the great torment that took place in her past, and you also find out that something is going on which appears to be very, very supernatural. This guy, David, is claiming something which would appear to be impossible, but which he claims is true and which involves a child that they once had together. Not the daughter, Abby, who is in the movie now, but a child that they once had together. So is this true or is it not true? And that is the basic tension of this movie for me, because you're always wondering, as the movie unfolds, are things exactly as they appear? Is this guy a guy from her distant past who has now shown up into her life and she is terrified and they have this secret which involves a child that they once had together? Or is he somehow totally insane and maybe she is as well, and this is a kind of insanity that they share? Or is the whole thing maybe just a projection of her own mind? Is she maybe having hallucinations? Is maybe none of this stuff really happening, which is what her daughter and her boyfriend actually think? So it's an intricate movie. It's a complicated movie, but you don't have to sit there and be using your intellect all the time. It's very easy to sink into the emotions of the movie and the terrifically dismal and dark atmosphere of this film, which takes place in gleaming circumstances. But the atmosphere of it is very dark and scary. Again, the acting is sensational. Rebecca Hall and Tim Roth are both absolutely excellent, top of their game. The young daughter is played by Grace Kaufman, one of the best performances I've seen all year. And the movie is scary, scary, scary. Near the end, it devolves into some violence, which is the least interesting part of the film. But the very, very end, the last few seconds, are, in my mind, haunting and terrific. So if you want to see a good horror movie right now, which is easily get by streaming, Resurrection is where you should go, in my opinion. And that is my scary story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you. David Starrett, Films in Focus, the films 13 Lives, What Josiah Saw, and Resurrection.